God Emperor of Dune by Frank Herbert. Copyright 1981 by Frank Herbert. This recording of the full-length reading of God Emperor of Dune was published by arrangement with the Herbert Limited Partnership and was produced in 1999 by Books on Tape Incorporated. This book is read by Connor O'Brien. God Emperor of Dune by Frank Herbert. This book is 423 pages long. The following material appears on the dust jacket of the book. The crowning achievement of the most successful science fiction series in history. With more than 10 million copies sold, Frank Herbert's magnificent Dune books stand among the major achievements of the imagination. The world has waited more than 5 years for this, the fourth, the greatest and the grandest Dune book of all. Centuries have passed on Dune itself, and the planet is green with life. Leto, the son of Dune's savior, is still alive but far from human, and the fate of all humanity hangs on his awesome sacrifice. The climax of what may well be the most magnificent achievement in science fiction history. God Emperor of Dune seizes the glittering loose ends of empire, ecology, and mysticism, and weaves them together into a seamless, brilliant tapestry of a human ecology evolving to transcend worlds and time. Baltimore Sun. A fourth visit to distant Arrakis that is every bit as fascinating as the other three, every bit as timely. Time. Herbert's creation of this universe, with its intricate development and analysis of ecology, religion, politics, and philosophy, remains one of the supreme and seminal achievements in science fiction. Hurry out and get it, Dune fans. This one is, if anything, more cryptic and compelling and moving than its ancestors. Louisville Times. Dedication. To Peggy Rountree, with love and admiration and deep appreciation. God Emperor of Dune. Excerpt from the speech by Hadi Benato, announcing the discoveries at Dar es Balat on the planet of Arrakis.
It not only is my pleasure to announce to you this morning our discovery of this marvelous storehouse containing, among other things, a monumental collection of manuscripts inscribed on Redulian crystal paper, but I also take pride in giving you our arguments for the authenticity of our discoveries, to tell you why we believe we have uncovered the original journals of Leto II, the God Emperor. First, let me recall to you the historical treasure which we all know by the name of the Stolen Journals, those volumes of known antiquity which over the centuries have been so valuable in helping us to understand our ancestors. As you all know, the Stolen Journals were deciphered by the Spacing Guild, and the method of the Guild Key was employed to translate these newly discovered volumes. No one denies the antiquity of the Guild Key, and it alone, translates these volumes. Second, these volumes were printed by an Ixian Dictatel of truly ancient make. The Stolen Journals leave no doubt that this was, in fact, the method employed by Leto II to record his historical observations. Third, and we believe that this is equal in portent to the actual discovery, there is the storehouse itself. The repository for these journals is an undoubted Ixian artifact of such primitive and yet marvelous construction that it is sure to throw new light on the historical epoch known as the Scattering. As was to be expected, the storehouse was invisible. It was buried far deeper than myth and the oral history had led us to expect, and it emitted radiation and absorbed radiation to simulate the natural character of its surroundings, a mechanical mimesis which is not surprising of itself. What has surprised our engineers, however, is the way this was done with the most rudimentary and truly primitive mechanical skills. I can see that some of you are as excited by this as we were. We believe we are looking at the first Ixian globe, the no-room from which all such devices evolved. If it is not actually the first, we believe it must be one of the first, and embodying the same principles as the first. Let me address your obvious curiosity by assuring you that we will take you on a brief tour of the storehouse presently. We will ask only that you maintain silence while within the storehouse, because our engineers and other specialists are still at work there unraveling the mysteries. Which brings me to my fourth point, and this may well be the capstone of our discoveries. It is with emotions difficult to describe that I reveal to you now another discovery at this site, namely, actual oral recordings, which are labeled as having been made by Leto II in the voice of his father, Paul Muad'Dib. Since authenticated recordings of the God Emperor are lodged in the Bene Gesserit archives, we have sent a sampling of our recordings, all of which were made on an ancient microbubble system, to the Sisterhood with a formal request that they conduct a comparison test. We have little doubt that the recordings will be authenticated. Now, please turn your attention to the translated excerpts which were handed to you as you entered. Let me take this opportunity to apologize for their weight. I have heard some of you joking about that. We used ordinary paper for a practical reason, economy. The original volumes are inscribed in symbols so small that they must be magnified substantially before they can be read. In fact, it requires more than 40 ordinary volumes of the type you now hold just to reprint the contents of one of the Redulian crystal originals. If the projector... Yes. We are now projecting part of an original page onto the screen at your left. This is from the first page of the first volume. Our translation is on the screens to the right. I call your attention to the internal evidence, the poetic vanity of the words, as well as the meaning derived from the translation. The style conveys a personality which is identifiable and consistent. We believe that this could only have been written by someone who had the direct experience of ancestral memories, by someone laboring to share that extraordinary experience of previous lives in a way that could be understood by those not so gifted. Look now at the actual meaning content. All of the references accord with everything history has told us about the one person whom we believe is the only person who could have written such an account. We have another surprise for you now. I have taken the liberty of inviting the well-known poet, Rebeth Frieb, to share the platform with us this morning and to read from this first page a short passage of our translation. It is our observation that, even in translation, these words take on a different character when read aloud. We want to share with you a truly extraordinary quality which we have discovered in these volumes. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Rebeth Frieb.
From the reading by Rebeth Frieb.
I assure you that I am the Book of Fate. Questions are my enemies, for my questions explode. Answers leap up like a frightened flock, blackening the sky of my inescapable memories. Not one answer, not one suffices. What prisms flash when I enter the terrible field of my past? I am a chip of shattered flint enclosed in a box. The box gyrates and quakes. I am tossed about in a storm of mysteries. And when the box opens, I return to this presence like a stranger in a primitive land. Slowly, slowly, I say, I relearn my name. But that is not to know myself. This person of my name, this Leto, who was the second of that calling, finds other voices in his mind, other names and other places. Oh, I promise you, as I have been promised, that I answer to but a single name. If you say, Leto, I respond. Sufferance makes this true. Sufferance, and one thing more. I hold the threads. All of them are mine. Let me but imagine a topic, say, men who have died by the sword, and I have them in all of their gore, every image intact, every moan, every grimace. Joys of motherhood, I think, and the birthing beds are mine. Serial baby smiles and the sweet cooings of new generations. The first walkings of the toddlers and the first victories of youths brought forth for me to share. They tumble one upon another until I can see little else but sameness and repetition. Keep it all intact, I warn myself. Who can deny the value of such experiences, the worth of learning through which I view each new instant? Ah, but it's the past. Don't you understand? It's only the past.
This morning I was born in a yurt at the edge of a horse plain in a land of a planet which no longer exists. Tomorrow I will be born someone else in another place. I have not yet chosen. This morning, though, this life. When my eyes had learned to focus, I looked out at sunshine on trampled grass, and I saw vigorous people going about the sweet activities of their lives. Where, oh, where has all of that vigor gone?
The Stolen Journals,